Hello, good evening. Yes, this is not a morning session. Surprise, surprise. I think I was a little bit too tired today, so I postponed it a little bit, but no, I thought, why not make a little recording? And this episode is a bit different because I have this book from Frank Berzbach. He's a German author, and what does he do actually? Let's see. Does it say? Let's see. Is there some sort of introduction to him? Nope. Let's just say he's an author, and yeah, he writes these books about consciousness. No, not consciousness, sorry, mindfulness and creativity. And the book that I have in my hands right now is called Die Kunst, ein kreatives Leben zu führen, Anregung zur Achtsamkeit. And it basically means the art to live a creative life, and then something mindfulness. And yeah, I wanna pick randomly a page and then read something and then comment on it. Let's see if this works out somehow. We'll see. All right, let's begin. I'm gonna close my eyes and I'm gonna say stop. And I'm on page 52 and 53, and there's a beautiful, beautiful quote, I guess. But that's at least something that stands out. And it says, wir arbeiten gern und mit weniger Erschöpfung, wenn wir sinnvoll finden, was wir tun. And it means that we are working better, or we have more fun at working and are less exhausted if we think that what we do has a purpose. Well, I guess, and no, I don't actually know what to talk about. Well, it is a pretty common quote, I would say. And it makes sense that if you like what you're doing, then you probably see it less as an exhausting task. And you are more passionate about it, and your motivation is much better. So, yeah, that makes sense. And it's funny because I actually talked about this with a friend today. And also looking back at my time during the studies, I realized that I had a lot of issues with motivating myself to do stuff, specifically when I had these depression periods where I felt really, really weak and with no energy. I was very tired, and I just basically been in bed all day, not doing anything, procrastinating and pushing a lot of assignments and stuff like that. And I think it was mostly because I didn't really see a purpose in doing it. I mean, I'm studying here and it's been a dream of mine, but when I'm in this weird kind of deep down hole, it's hard to see some sort of future. And I think that's also something that's very common for depression, the inability to see any kind of future. And you're mostly living in the past, basically, not really in the present and not really in the future, other than maybe being afraid of what's to come. And yeah, so I think what changed for me when it comes to that is actually just doing something. Because I remember one of the turning points this semester, at least, was when I had this full week of one course where I was basically on my own because I had my own little assignment and my own little one-woman group. And I was, I had to report to my supervisor. So I had to be in touch with them and talk about what I'm doing, what my plans are, because I was reliant on them to give me the data set that I needed for my project. But they were also relying on me knowing what I actually need. So I had to do something, and I couldn't just, you know, do nothing, because it was a sprint week and we didn't have much time. So there were deadlines, and I felt like, yeah, why not? I was super anxious, but it turned out to be one of the best courses I've had so far. And I was really sad when it was over. And I think it just changed because I just sat down and I realized, okay, I have to do something. So I started working. And while working, I realized there were so many ideas and thoughts that I had. And I was reading stuff and I was doing a lot of research. And I also had these affirmative meetings with them that kind of confirmed that I was going into the right direction and what I was doing is valuable. And I think these small little kind of achievements helped a lot as well during this process. And I was also so passionate about it that I then started to learn the tool by just experimenting and reading up on it. And it was so much fun just seeing results, actually. So it's not only this confirmation about, oh, I'm actually doing something well, it's also doing something and seeing a result instead of just, I don't know, thinking about it and not having anything tangible. Because I think I've had this during my work quite a lot while I was actually full-time working after my bachelor's and before my master's, that as a creative, a lot of the work that you're doing is in your head, but obviously you're also scribbling maybe and you're doing drafts and you're trying to create prototypes, but it's very hard to understand that I'm actually working and to get this kind of acknowledgement for other people to see that I'm actually doing something and not just sitting there doing nothing. So yeah, I don't know if that makes sense to you. I'm just trying to ramble. Let me just think about it. How to put it a bit more into better words maybe. And I'll get back to you in a second. Hold on. Yeah, so I think it boils down to when I'm a creative working on a project and I'm doing a lot of the work inside of my head because I'm thinking about stuff and researching and so on and so on. And if you combine this with an unhealthy high amount of perfectionism, then it's really hard to produce things where you feel like you're confident enough to share it with other people. But when I try to kind of suppress this unhealthy perfectionism and just produce content, whether it is scribbles, whether it is drawing a map or, I don't know, taking notes or starting to write or starting to create a prototype, that's maybe flawless, I would say. No, that maybe has flaws and it's not perfect. But I'm still doing something visible that other people can also see and then can follow kind of my thought process. That is so helpful. So instead of just keeping all this knowledge and all of these ideas inside of my head, trying to visualize them and trying to translate it into reality, I guess, is helping a lot in the process. And it doesn't mean that I still don't have issues with sharing work that is unfinished, but I'm just trying with everything that I do to ignore that and do it anyways. It's kind of the same when I shared with you my music. And even though they're all kind of drafts and they're just like, I don't know, snapshots of what this particular song could be like, I'm still doing something and I'm sharing it, and it's kind of like showing the essence of something. And it doesn't have to be a finished product to be valuable. And here we are going into something a bit more philosophical, I think. Because, yeah, you don't have to be perfect in order to be valuable. Ooh, that's very deep. Yeah, it's funny now that I think about it. It's not necessarily something that I am actively thinking about when I'm thinking about myself as a person. And you know that we've talked about this before, that I'm maybe a bit uncomfortable with my skin and that I don't feel like I'm a lovable person, and that I'm not attractive enough, and that I'm not good enough. And it's tied to this very, very unhealthy ideal that I have in my head, I think. And I don't know exactly where this perfectionism came from. I mean, probably that's an answer to many, many of these kinds of questions, is that it's something related to my childhood, of course. Maybe it has something to do with trying to be perfect in order to get some attention, because I didn't get attention enough when I was a child or something like that. I don't know. It could be anything. But yeah, I think now, having talked about it, this kind of approach that I have or try to have with my work that I'm doing, as a creative or as an academic, as a social scientist now, which is still a bit weird to say that. I think having this kind of approach in general, regarding myself, my life, my body, my mind and everything, yeah, maybe that would be something that I should work on as well, or could work on. Because I obviously can see that it is working, when I'm doing all of these, yeah, things for university, for example. So I guess it could work in general in my life as well. I would hope so, at least. So, yeah. Oof, that's been a ride. Let's see if we can have another quote, maybe, to end this episode. Let's see. Yeah. Ooh, there are two quotes. The first one says, "Work-Life Balance suggeriert, dass Arbeit und Leben zwei Waagschalen seien, die ausbalanciert werden müssten." That's interesting, actually. It says, work-life balance suggests that work and life are two, how do you say that? Waagschalen. You know, Justitia, I think that's the name, the law person with a blindfold who has this scale, and there are two bowls, I think. So that's Waagschalen, I think. So two kind of bowls of a scale that have to be balanced. So basically it means that, yeah, work and life are two separate things that have to be balanced. I don't know what they're talking about, actually. Oh, yeah. Basically, he says that it suggests that on the one hand, you have kind of the pressure, and on the other hand, you have freedom. But, oh, and there's a quote by Yusuf Boyce as well, which says, freedom instead of leisure. Freiheit statt Freizeit, to the German kind of phrase. Okay. And he goes on to say that if you're only free in your free time, oh, actually you can say freedom instead of free time. Makes more sense. So if you're only free in your free time, then you're a prisoner during work. So if work is not an essential part of life, then creativity is in danger. Because for creatives, work is a place of well-dosed freedom and and the place where your ideas come true. And it's the life, it's a way of living. Yeah, I don't know about that. Because I do like to... I never understood this kind of work-life balance thing, because, you know... Okay, now I'm just going on. But, you know, this kind of trend from, let's say, Google or Facebook, and their kind of campuses where people work and live and everything is entangled and there is no beginning and end and you're just living your life, basically. I'm not quite sure if I like that, to be honest, because I want to be able to work and then stop working, stop thinking about it, come home, do something else. I want this kind of separation, but it doesn't mean that work itself has to be feel like a prison. So I don't know. So the other quote is, ohne mich wäre das Leben ganz einfach. Without me, the life would be very simple or easy. And I don't know, it's from a Buddhist person. And I'm not quite sure what they're meaning with that. So, I'm going to leave this quote unanswered and you can figure it out on your own, because I don't know what to say. Anyways, I'm going to leave you here with a short 30-second snippet of a song that you and I know very well and like. And if you're listening on Spotify, you're probably not going to hear it because it's copyrighted and it's only available to listen to in this app. But yeah, it's 17. So have a good day. Bye.